WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Special Report.
9 people lost their lives in this building last night.
Fall River, Massachusetts Fire Chief Jeffrey Bacon after flames consumed an assisted living facility that housed about 70 people. He says many were rescued, some of them carried out because they couldn't walk.
The police department, fire department, and EMS were able to enact dozens of rescues to save multiple lives in this case.
First responders had to fight their way through smoke and flames, with some residents screaming out windows, begging to be saved. The chief says it's left his entire department shaken.
I would say that for anybody that was at this scene last night, not just firefighters, police officers, EMS, to seek the help that you need to deal with the tragic situation like this. Nobody's programmed to deal with this.
Family members who showed up say police were trying to break windows to get in. The cause of the fire at Gabriel House is under investigation. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WAUK News brought to you by the Summer Splash Dog Show at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to July 27th. Fun for the whole family. WaukeshaSummerSplash.com.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Shelley Pittman. 7-year-old Jamal White has been found safe after being kidnapped at gunpoint outside his home on Friday. Community members came together for a search on Saturday, and in less than 24 hours, an Amber Alert was canceled after he was found safe 7 miles away. A date is set for the trial of a Racine County man accused of requesting absentee ballot applications, Harry Waite, a conservative activist and founder of HOT, that's Honest, Open, and Transparent Government, is scheduled to go to trial in February 2026. A Walworth County judge set the date last Friday. Waite faces 2 felony charges of misappropriating ID and 2 misdemeanor charges of election fraud. Waite admits he requested ballots for officials like Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Racine Mayor Corey Mason. Waite says he's a whistleblower and was exposing vulnerabilities in the state's online voter portal. Waite described Wisconsin's online voter portal as, quote, a rogue system, to investigative news outlet ProPublica. He was once represented in the case by former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, who himself led a taxpayer-funded investigation into the 2020 election without any findings of voter fraud. And the city of Racine could be moving ahead with plans to add 3 new electric buses to replace some of its diesel fleet. The $4.5 million purchase, mostly funded by a federal clean vehicle grant, is going before the city council tomorrow. If approved, the city would buy from a new manufacturer, because the one approved in 2023 is going bankrupt. The change means getting 1 fewer bus than originally planned. It would bring Ride Racine's electric fleet to an even dozen. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Shelley Pittman.
The Bucks lose to L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks losing to the L.A. Clippers, 106-91 in summer league action. Bucks GM John Horst asked if he's had any contact with Giannis after all the roster changes they've made.
We talk to Giannis all the time. I'll go visit him after summer league. You know, there's a reason we don't really speculate or talk about any of this stuff ever. Entirely focused on our job. Our job is to build the best team that we can, present that to him, present the vision and the plan, and go and kick ass in the next season.
Baseball, the Brewers drafting 5 new players, 3 pitchers, 2 infielders. The draft continues today. Milwaukee beat the Nationals 8-1 to complete a 3-game sweep heading into the All-Star break. But Sal Frelick suffering a hamstring injury after sliding to catch a pop fly in foul territory.
You know, his hamstrings last week, he was feeling it a little bit and cautious and got treated for it. And then when he slid, he felt like it got worse. We recommended he come out of the game.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 84 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping into the upper 60s to near 70. Tomorrow, sunshine 84. We could see a few scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Bring the whole family to the Waukesha Kennel Club Summer Splash Dog Shows at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to 27th. Enjoy exciting events like dock diving, fast cat racing, obedience, and the thrilling best of show competition. It's fun for all ages. Check out the vendors and find the best pet supplies for your furry friends. It's the perfect weekend for dog lovers and families alike. Sponsored by Royal Canin at 540 AM WAUK. Visit WaukeshaSummerSplash.com for all the details.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese with the Canine Convoy based in Oconto. We're talking Dog Bus. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Monday morning, July 14th, 2025. Parker Olson produces this show and is standing by in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy joining us in a sec from Madison Studio A1. And then from her private weather cave somewhere in the middle of Wisconsin is meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who's also going to educate us this hour about EAA Air Venture. Big fan of it.
Huge fan.
To which Alicia writes on YouTube, I need to find Brittany next week. Big EAA fan. So
yes.
I've never been to it. John and Gordy, I don't believe you guys have been there from our Madison station.
No.
And Kristen, it's been a little while for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll figure that out.
Oh, you've been there. You've been there, though.
Yeah.
I grew up in the Fox Valley, so I've been around.
Yeah, you can't help it.
Exactly. Alicia also notes that July birthdays are the best, and she's no longer talking about mine 10 days ago, but now talking about John, whose birthday is today. Happy birthday, Mr. Peterson.
Well, thank you very much. Yes. Gordy's birthday was last week, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's birthday is tomorrow, and we're going to go see the movie Superman.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so that's her gift.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, we were just talking about that in the last segment here.
Oh, you are? Wow.
Yeah. So, Brittany, we started last hour, and I figure we start as well about the smoke because it was, again, so thick in parts of Wisconsin. Seems to have dissipated by and large, but does that play any kind of a role as we get our weather week started?
Yeah, so a little bit still sticking around, especially by those Great Lakes, far north and far east. Air quality isn't the best. It could spike a little bit this afternoon before it wants to leave. And it's all because of the high pressure system. It is taking the air way up high and sinking it down to the surface. And the winds aren't really moving too much yet. So as a front starts to move through later this week, that will all be gone and out of here. And it is going to start to get a little bit better by tomorrow. So highs today, we're going to the mid 80s statewide. All of us feeling that summer warmth, slightly sticky out there. And of course, a hazy sunshine. It will be warm and throughout tomorrow, too. Temperatures still into those upper 80s before a front starts to sag through the state. So tomorrow night, we are looking at chances of showers and storms far northwest. And of course, that is going to be working its way for the rest of us into Wednesday and potentially Thursday, too, before we dry things out for Friday. And actually, we cool down behind that as well. Overall, not looking at too crazy of a week, just a little wet in the middle of it.
Okay. We'll talk about Air Venture more in just a sec, but first let me remind folks that State Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner from the Green Bay area will be joining us later this hour. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly, kind enough to stick around for us. Jane Mattenair is off today, but she will be busy this week along with Greg Bach and with Todd Albaugh, because it is road trip week. You can go road tripping with Mattenair on Air and the Todd Albaugh Show with stops in Oshkosh, Butternut, and Hayward. You can join Jane and Todd and Greg on the road for all kinds of stories about what makes Wisconsin great. And, of course, we've given Todd a head start, given a couple of days that he spent up here at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. I don't believe we scarred him too much. He's still willing to road trip for the rest of this week, so tune into all of that across the Civic Media Radio Network. Also coming up later today on the programs, you've got Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang, who are guest co-hosting Matt and Air on Air today. And then later on the Todd Alba Show at 3:30, State Representative Jenna Jacobson will talk about her announcement for a state Senate seat in southwest Wisconsin. That and so much more throughout the day here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Brittany, we count on you as our ambassador because we're now in the 1 week countdown to Air Venture. And for those of us who have not been, or, you know, maybe don't consider ourselves big plane enthusiasts, everybody's got the things that they like. You love it. What is it? What is it about it that you love so much?
It's risky, right? You love risk.
It's risky. Yeah. Adventure.
Former wing walker. Yeah. Something like that.
Yes. No, I've always wanted to be a pilot. I think obviously aviation and meteorology go hand in hand. So I've always been closely tied to that community. And just the things that you learn. Honestly, I didn't know EAA was a thing until I moved to the Fox Valley. So like Kristen Lyerly was saying, it's just when you're in that atmosphere, it's there. You're going to go, you're going to see it. But outside of that, you don't really know what it is. I had no idea. So it's basically where airplanes were, you know, in a sense created. So we have people coming from all across the world joining in tiny little Oshkosh. And I say tiny because it is small when you have all of these pilots worldwide. There's over 10,000 flights coming into Whitman Airport. It's already starting right now. So the weather is a huge thing, you know, obviously, as you have all these pilots flying in. And it's pretty cool. It's a big family because everyone in the Fox Valley is volunteering. We have volunteers all over. That is how this event is ran, volunteer-based. So a lot of us Wisconsinites are busting our butt in that crazy, hot, stormy weather to make this event happen. And even all around it, I mean, just so you know, heads up, fast food places or restaurants around the area are going to be sold out. They're going to be slammed. So it brings in a lot of money to our area. But overall, it is the coolest thing to me. Because I love flying. I love aerobatics. You get to meet all these pilots. You get to see the old planes, the
aerobatics.
Bombers.
Oh my gosh. Maybe that's what you're going to get into, right?
You know
it. Aerobatic part of it. All right. I knew risk. She likes risk. All right.
Yeah, I want to know why is Alicia writing in wing walker in the Navy has a completely different meaning. All right, Alicia. Apparently, we've made a bunch of people in the Navy laugh right now without any idea why. So maybe she will fill us in. Are you going to be camping next week there like you were last year?
Yes. So I will be there the entire week camping, no electricity, none of that.
What?
So it is the real grind out there for the entire week trying to make it through. And you think your phone, when that thing dies, that phone dies really, really fast.
Will you be in touch with us at all?
I will.
Well, she could always go to Osh Vegas, which is across the street.
I love that sign.
Osh Vegas.
Yes, Osh Vegas is right across the street.
Yes.
Isn't there a gift shop now? I think. What? I don't know. It used to be a motel.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm not quite sure either.
Osh Vegas?
Yeah, it's across the street. It's like a store or a house or it's something.
I think they host a big music festival there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And that big field behind it.
Yeah.
I think that's where country music used to be, and now they changed it to something else. Oh, and I believe it's maybe a pub, there with a bunch of campers.
Love the name. Isn't that a great name, Osh Vegas?
Osh Vegas.
It works.
We are going to learn a lot about the Oshkosh area next week. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Let's get back to John and Gordy, the birthday boys as well. John, today, especially. John, as you mentioned last week, you got yourself a little gift. You are now an EV owner.
That's right. I just love these EVs now. I got in the car and it was just so gorgeous that I just fell in love immediately. And my wife was not on that same page. She wanted to build a garage and add value to our house. I said, no, I have to get this frivolous gift for myself. So, and the only reason I had to get this is because, as you know, Trump is getting rid of the rebates for EVs. And I thought, I'm taking that $4,000 before they expire. Sure. And that's the only reason I wanted to get the EV. And I also read an article where used EVs are really inexpensive. They're least expensive out of all the used cars, gasoline included. So I found a great EV. It's a Kia EV6. It's called the Wind. I should give it a name.
Wind.
No, it doesn't need the wind. It needs a song. Kristen, you turn on that radio, yeah. And what's the first thing it plays for you?
She's like the wind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Leaves. You got to name it Swayze.
Swayze?
Name it the Swayze. Swayze and Swayze. Head to the store.
Yeah. I could. I have to think of a name. I don't know. I got to think of something that's
natural. You give us the wind as a start. Of course, I'm old enough. I'd go with Mariah, but I'm sure there are other options. There you go.
The thing is, we're talking about it on there this morning. We're saying, geez, I finally made it into the Jetsons age.
Yeah.
That's our reference point.
Yes. That is your entry. Congratulations. You're there.
This is a tech vehicle. It's called the tech package. So it's got all this technical stuff in the car. And to tell you what, you know, they have the quick guides, you know, how you like to look at the quick guide right away so you can get familiar with things very quickly. They're about 300 pages. These quick guides are not quick guides at all. No.
It sounds, I'll bet there's a bunch of lawyer talk in there too about, you know, all the disclaimers and like the terms and conditions. You have to check the box. No idea what you just checked, and yet you're there. And so that's your birthday gift to yourself of sorts, Gordy.
And the family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the family too, I guess. Gordy, you did Art Fair on the Square, which is all around the Capitol Square. I've been to it once or twice. Just a wonderful way to have, you know, art and other crafts on display. So did you get yourself like a little statue for your house or a big 6x6 foot painting of something? Or
No, I didn't really make any purchases. I did win a couple of prizes at one of the local TV stations. Had a big prize wheel, and I got a little duffel bag or something with their logo all over it. I like to go just to see what's out there and all the, because they bring artists in from all over the country for this thing. It's been going on for forever in Madison, and they have the art fair on the square, and then they have the art fair off the square. They really kind of have blended the two together, but some more local stuff at the art fair off of the square, but just fantastic stuff. I mean, I just admire all the work that all these artists can do, and a lot of imagination, a lot of very cool artwork, a lot of arts and crafts stuff too, and terrific food. So it's a great day. They have it every Saturday and Sunday this time of year. And I went to it yesterday because it's a little bit less people. The Saturday morning is really crowded, but I went yesterday afternoon. It was really fun and great weather for it too. So just a fun day out.
That's great.
And I'd go to it myself, but I've got the weirdest house. There's no place on the walls to put pictures. So
it's not just pictures though. It's jewelry.
It's sculpture, a lot of things.
Art can mean so many different things to different
I just thought he was coming up with That's an excuse. True. Oh, look, there's nothing on the walls. There's the things just fall right off. It's a special paint that we put on the walls. It happens. So you have a birthday on Bastille Day, John. Which is interesting. I mean, have you had French themed birthday parties or anything
no.
like that? Do you spend your birthday releasing prisoners or anything? Storming the gates?
Yeah, storming the gates. I forgot all about Bastille Day. And I guess, Kristen, you brought the whole subject matter up, right?
Well, Kristen tortured somebody over Bastille Day.
Because we're near Madison, right? So when I lived in Oregon, my neighbor, Ann Weiland, shout out to Ann, it is also Ann's birthday. So we had a birthday party for Ann. And at the time, we also had an au pair from Germany who, like many Germans, has a little bit of a rivalry with the French. Mm-hmm. So we themed the entire birthday party French, with French fries and French toast and all of the silly French things. And we told him that it was a Bastille Day party. And he got so upset that he left. We had to chase him out of the house and tell him that we were just kidding. So happy birthday, Anne. Happy Bastille Day to all.
I mean, you punk your German guest with a Bastille Day party. I mean, do you have like a Mexican housekeeper and then you have an ice theme party for this person next? What's next with you?
Wow. We're still friends. I texted him this morning. He said, I still do not understand the French work culture. Happy Bastille Day.
There you go.
Hey, a local update is coming up next for some of you. Others will continue this conversation here. And when we're all back together in our next half hour, we will be talking to State Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner about what's happening next in the legislature now that the state budget has been passed and is done. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hands a big win to the environment. The court ruled it's unconstitutional for a legislative committee to block rules created by state agencies. The decision means good environmental rules now face an easier path to getting to the finish line and becoming law. For years, legislative vetoes by a handful of legislators stymied a long list of environmental protections. After more than 30 years, the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program is going unfunded. Money for the legacy program was stripped out of the budget by the Joint Committee on Finance. The program helps preserve our state's wildlife areas and fisheries through land purchases and grants. Now that the budget has been signed, it's unclear how the vital program will continue, although there is talk of a standalone bill that would revive it. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big borough bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. If you're a regular listener to the shows here on Civic Media, you're going to know that one of the things we have talked about on many occasions is reckless driving, specifically in the city of Milwaukee. We've had many guests on our shows to talk about fixes, to talk about initiatives, policies, because we can all agree that something needs to be done about this. And Maggie Dawn spoke to Jeremy Janine, who's discussing the Vision Zero initiative, an ambitious plan to eliminate traffic fatalities through strategic urban redesign and policy reform in Milwaukee.
And we've got an interesting initiative that the city of Milwaukee has been working on for a bit. It's called Vision Zero, and that is to eliminate all traffic deaths within the city of Milwaukee. I particularly like this because it places the city in an affirmative policy posture. In other words, here is this place that we want to get to. Here is our goal. Instead of always being in this responsive, oh gosh, we have to stop the reckless driving, it sets out an ambitious, audacious goal for us to get to as a city. Again, not just trying to eliminate the harms, but trying to establish a positive direction. We've got Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee, the founder and one of the journalists there. Welcome back to the show, Jeremy, and happy belated 4th of July to you.
To you as well. Thanks for having me.
Tell us more about Vision Zero. When did this come about? How are they going about trying to achieve this quite audacious goal?
Yeah, it sounds ridiculous on its face, but there's even one U.S. city that has achieved it. It's an idea from the 1990s that originated in Sweden. And it takes a holistic approach at eliminating traffic tests. The acknowledgement that crashes are going to happen, but they don't have to be severe and they don't have to be fatal. And that includes not just people in vehicles, but pedestrians, bicyclists, everyone that could be around the road and using a road, that they should be safe. And the U.S. city that did achieve this is Hoboken, New Jersey, which is obviously a little bit of an outlier because it's a smaller city. It's only a couple square miles. Milwaukee is much larger, but they did it in a systematic fashion that Milwaukee is trying to do as well. And traditionally, when you think of preventing or increasing road safety, you think of three things: engineering, enforcement, and education. So enforcement, something we can all identify, putting more police officers out there or targeting certain reckless driving, that kind of thing. Engineering, the way Milwaukee's rebuilding streets. And there's a reason to think engineering could have big results. And one of the stats when the city put together its Vision Zero plan is 59% of serious crashes, so more than half of them, occur on 9% of the city's streets. So you don't need to re-engineer every street. And then the last thing, education, doing things like just raising awareness in high school of proper practices and even doing the logical, simple thing like teaching driver's ed to as many people as possible. So doing all those things in concert and then tracking your progress. Unfortunately, since I published this article, Milwaukee has recorded 2 more traffic deaths. It's now up to 23 on the year. So a long way to go, but it is down 7% from last year.
That is good news, bad news. And this is quite a challenge for a city like Milwaukee. But this is also one of those, again, holistic public policy approaches, trying to take a targeted approach using data and this kind of analysis to identify, hey, these are our tier one areas where we see the most fatalities. We don't have to do the same thing in all places because it won't have equal impact. This is the kind of thing that as a number cruncher, as a data wonk myself, I wish we saw more of this from policymakers. What has the public's reaction to this been so far? What are some of these improvements to the streets, these high risk, high fatality streets that the city has been making?
There's a lot of different things happening. You saw some really quick fixes. If you go down Capitol Drive in Milwaukee, you can see these curb bump outs that just prevent the most reckless passing in the parking lane. But also every time the city reconstructs a street, it redesigns it now in a safer way. So not only are you eliminating potholes, but you're just right-sizing lanes. We have a lot of streets in the city of Milwaukee, and you can see these across Wisconsin, that are way wider than they need to be. We had more people driving not on the interstates in the 1960s than we do today. So yes, a lot of opportunity to redesign streets. The city of Milwaukee also has a traffic safety unit within the Milwaukee Police Department, so focused on targeted offenses. And then there's advocacy at the state level, and we've talked about this in the past, on being able to impound the vehicles of reckless drivers. What's the reception to that? People favor some components of it. They're a bit more concerned with, I can't drive as fast as I want. But the key thing to know is speed can kill.
This is the trick here, and it's interesting to me. I'm going to draw a very, very rough analogy. When people say they want bipartisanship and compromise and then complain when they get it, well, I want safer streets and people to slow down, but wait, I can't zip by in the parking lane, and when I'm going to work, boy, I don't like that. Folks, you have to be able, again, these are collective, we're creating community goods by these kinds of programs and policy changes. And yeah, it's going to require behavior modification for all of us, right? Like, that's part of what this process is, and thinking, hey, I might need to leave a little bit earlier. And I'll just say this. I was an incredibly responsible kid, got really good grades, did all the sports, but I was an incredibly irresponsible driver. I drove way too fast. I got 2 speeding tickets inside of a month when I was graduating from high school. My parents were super pleased with that. I was painting houses that summer to pay for that, and the insurance increases, believe you me. Listen, thanks so much, Jeremy. It's always a pleasure to have you. That's Jeremy Janine, the founder and creator of Urban Milwaukee, an online newspaper. Check out their work.
If you live in southeastern Wisconsin and want to know more about what's going on, Maggie Dawn speaks to Jeremy every single week, so you can always catch that interview by tuning into her show. She's on Monday through Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on the Civic Media Network. You can also catch up anytime you want by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Find the Maggie Dawn Show, download the episodes you're looking for, and listen to them whenever you want, wherever you want. You're listening to WAUK's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 8:29.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Sholly Pittman. Kenosha officials are warning residents about a new scam. It involves fake invoices that appear to come from the city's planning commission, but actually direct payments to scammers. The city says these invoices often mention work that was never authorized, use official city logos, and include unfamiliar payment details to make them look legitimate. If you see an invoice that looks suspicious, don't pay. Report it to city staff or to police. Nearly a quarter of Racine County residents are enrolled in Medicaid. That's according to May statistics from the State Department of Health Services. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin warned of the looming cuts to the program over the weekend. Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale has more.
The budget bill recently signed into law by President Donald Trump included drastic cuts to Medicaid. Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, who voted against the bill, said the fight for Medicaid is not over.
It's not the last act that Congress will ever take. And we will have future opportunities to fix some of the problems. But that will only happen if pressure on those who voted for it is such that they are hearing from their constituents that this was a mistake.
Baldwin made her comments in Green Bay Saturday as she toured Amplify Bellin Health's ER department. Co-chief clinical officer Dr. Cynthia Lasecki said when people don't have health coverage, they end up using emergency rooms as primary care providers. Baldwin says about 270,000 Wisconsinites will have their health care terminated as a result of the budget bill, costing Wisconsin hospitals $264 million a year.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Sholly Pittman.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mariska Hargitay has experienced an almost unprecedented run as an actor on the show Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And now she has a director's credit as well. She is the creative force behind a documentary about her late mother, Jane Mansfield, called My Mom Jane. The Hollywood Reporter is now saying the documentary will be eligible for the Oscars since it's been revealed that it had a short theatrical run at a North Hollywood movie theater last week. My Mom Jane is available to stream on HBO and is getting very good reviews. Sarah Jessica Parker feels she had to defend herself for not endorsing a political candidate publicly. The And Just Like That and Sex and the City star told Nicole Wallace on her podcast she didn't believe social media was the place for quick political conversations. To her credit, Parker says she's not going to go into an argument unless she is totally educated on an issue. Imagine that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 84 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping into the upper 60s to near 70. Tomorrow, sunshine 84. We could see a few scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane, Matt, and Air. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Hey, you can sign up for our daily newsletter at Up North News. Head to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. In today's newsletter, a little story about sports broadcaster Trenny Casey. You may have remembered her as Trenny Kaznarek. She recently completed her leg of MS Run the U.S., a coast-to-coast relay where runners cover a section of the country to raise awareness and funds for those living with multiple sclerosis. Trenny had a leg that spanned 160 miles from Platteville to Wauwatosa, basically running six marathons in 6 days. She raised tens of thousands of dollars for the cause, and you can read more about it in our newsletter. Sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com, and don't forget on the website as well, when you head over there, there's a new feature called 10 Books by Wisconsin Authors to add to your summer reading list. They include Wisconsin Milwaukee native Peter Straub, who went on to write the national bestseller Ghost Story, and much more. Look for that on the website, upnorthnewswi.com. Back now at 8:36, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here, and also joining us, State Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner from the Green Bay area. Nice to have you here, Representative. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Go Pack, go.
That's right. There you go. Exactly. So the state budget is done. And ultimately, as it passed, you were a no vote on it. It was quite the bipartisan vote total, with Republicans and Democrats voting no, Republicans and Democrats voting yes. And everybody in those groups, you know, has their reasons. And so I wanted to hear from you what it was where, in your mind, the state budget bill fell short of your support for a vote.
Well, first and foremost, I just want to let you know, I also love hot honey. And so it's one of my wonderful things. And I usually put it with bacon wrapped dates with blue cheese and goat cheese on top. So it's very, very good. But
you're in, get in line here, because Jenny's putting on YouTube, pepper jelly is a great stir fry alternative. True, too.
Whoa.
So look at this. We are adding spice to this program like you never would. Who'd have thought, you know, that a girl from Kaukauna and a boy from Chippewa Falls, neither one of which is going to be mistaken for spicy, is going to be all about the spicy food and, you know, and more. I'll leave it at that.
I love it.
So it's now okay. It's time for that hot take on the budget. You see what I did there?
So one of the things I'm really excited about is that there was even a version of bipartisan compromise. I mean, many of you already know this, that over the last 15 years, we have not really seen Republicans come to the table to negotiate on anything related to the budget. We've seen a new process in which the governor puts out a budget, which I fully supported, and the JFC, the Joint Finance Committee, which is 14 members are Republicans and four are Democrats, despite legislators that are much closer in percentages, usually throws out the entire budget. And that's actually what happened this year, except the most extreme members of the Senate could not vote for any budget and actually were contemplating not passing a budget for the first time in modern Wisconsin history. And then they were looking for Democratic votes literally at the last minute, coming down to the last hour of the budget cycle. This is the most kind of unique budget cycle that we've ever seen, probably in modern Wisconsin history. And so a lot of things were missing. And so I'm very proud that the governor, in this broken system that we have, attempted to bring some common sense to this bill. So he made a Republican bill, a budget bill, better, but it really fell short. And so I'm thankful for the governor for all the work that he did. I'm glad that there are some elements that got improved, and we saw some really good things in the budget. But here's the thing. I came to Madison not to work just within broken systems, but to fix them. And one of the most broken systems that we have is school funding. And so the compromise was that our special education funding would be at 60%. For those who may not know, that we essentially have two tiers of education where we have voucher schools and traditional public schools. Voucher schools get funded at 90% or higher for their special education expenses. Public schools are at 30%. The governor put it at 60%, which was the compromise, which should have, you know, we would love to be at 90, but it got 60, people could live with that. The Republicans responded by giving them 32%. This budget put it at 45%. And so what school districts told us, like here in Green Bay, was if we couldn't get to 60%, we'd end up at a referendum, putting that burden of funding our public schools on property tax owners in the local community versus on the budget that has the ability to cover that cost. And so it didn't pass. I mean, the budget did pass, and we are now looking for, our school system is planning on going to referendum this next fall. And so I could not support a budget that could not really cover the cost, the compromise funding for schools. And to me, schools are the centerpiece of our community. It's where we judge how well we take care of our kids, where they meet some of the best people of their lives, where they're equipped for the next generation and the skills of the workforce. And the fact that our schools are struggling at such a level just did not seem like something I could vote for. I'm looking forward to supporting more school funding in this coming year, but it was really school funding that made the difference for me.
And when you talk about Green Bay schools going to referendum, you mean referendum again, because Republicans in the state have failed to provide adequate funding for public education for the past 15 years. And before I ask you about childcare, because I really, really care about that, I just want to lift up something that you said. For the past 15 years, Republicans in the state have refused to compromise. And that's what the people of Wisconsin want. They have refused to serve the people of Wisconsin because they have had this stance that is uncompromising. So let's talk about what that means for childcare now and for the future of childcare in this state.
Yeah, and so there were several things that I think I would have loved to see more investment in. Childcare was one of them. This budget didn't actually have any specific allocations for housing, as we know that there's a housing crisis here in Green Bay. And it ultimately, because of Republicans, failed to expand Badger Care, which we know would actually bring about $1.7 billion to the state of Wisconsin. But specifically childcare, and the governor has made a great effort to really make sure that we had some childcare funding in this project. And so there is funding, millions of dollars of funding for childcare that the governor was able to add into this, the really exciting childcare counts program that was a pandemic era program that sent direct funding to childcare providers that allowed them to hire folks, pay people better, and keep their prices low and accessible to working families. The governor had been a champion for that work. Republicans didn't like the name Child Care Counts and didn't like the program. So the compromise was to create a whole new program that works just like Child Care Counts so that Republicans could have a win. And so the upside is that we have child care funding in the state budget. The downside is that funding literally goes away after the first year. And again, I think that we have to remember that it's not really a compromise. It was that Republicans wanted something. They needed five Democratic votes, and they gave us the bare minimum to get those five votes in the Senate, and they did get some more in the Assembly. And I think that is not a great process. Like, what to me, what I hear when I talk to people in this community, Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative, is that they want government to work. They want government to be a force for good. And there's a lot of incredible things that happen here in Wisconsin. We're the birthplace of many civil rights, of Social Security, of environmentalism. We know that we want to take care of each other. And so they expect a budget that does that work. And for me, I'm really proud of the governor for even getting an improved budget. But the truth of the matter is, there's too many things that were left on the table. Childcare is one of them. We would have loved to see some further extensions. And these are majoritarian policies. These are not far right, far left. Everybody wants a basic child care program. People want housing and building more housing. They want something taken care of the environment, and they want their healthcare to be more accessible. And they want us to take funding from the federal government so that it's less of a burden on local taxpayers. And unfortunately, we could not get there with this budget, but this is the first budget that we've ever seen Republicans have come to the table. Unfortunately, it was, they came to the table the last 24 hours and expected to make miracles. And so I'm happy we got further than we were at, but there's still a lot that folks need in this moment.
First steps, bipartisan wise, but baby steps, but first steps, but baby steps. So where do we go from here? The budget bill is done. We're talking to State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner from Green Bay, Dr. Kristen Lierley here as well. And so there are things that did not make the state budget bill that perhaps could come up as separate legislation, but again, it would need bipartisan support to move forward. There are other bills that may not pass at all. They've been brought up year after year after year. And yet, as a statement, you have to bring them up to show people what you're willing to fight for. I think about the predecessor in that seat, you know, made a big deal about healthy meals for all and school meals. You have taken that baton and you are running with it.
Absolutely. So just for folks who may not know, former Representative Christina Shelton, now Christina Sandar, led the effort to create a program called Healthy Meals for All, which is basically says that every kid that goes to a school, a public school, gets a lunch and a breakfast, no means testing, everyone gets fed. We know that a hungry kid cannot learn. And so taking that concern off the table and allowing kids to have meals without accruing debt, something that we still do in the 21st century, is that we make children and families actually accrue debt for meals at schools. This bill would eliminate that process and no means testing, and we'd actually save money. It costs the state and local municipalities money to actually implement a program that tries to regulate who gets and who pays for school funding, school food. And Minnesota has already done this. Many states have already done this, and it's an exciting program that's common sense. It actually saves taxpayer money, and we see the improvement in kids' lives and learning outcomes and social outcomes. And so I'm really excited to be a champion for this. A lot of my other Democratic colleagues have signed on to this bill. We are hoping to get this passed. It was in the governor's budget, but it was stripped out by the Joint Finance Committee. But we are reintroducing that bill, hoping to get that support. And when I actually talk to my Republican colleagues, and there's a lot of support. But we all know the difference between private conversations and the politics of the Assembly and the Senate. And so my hope is that that common sense bill can see the light of day because it has broad support and it actually saves us money. And so I just think feeding kids is something that's very simple. And I'm always grateful that the governor put this in his budget and made it a priority. Unfortunately, it did not survive the so-called compromise.
Which leads me to again say, how is this still a thing? How are we still having this discussion about school lunch debt and not feeding all the kids in school? We don't charge bus fare on the school bus. Why are we doing the same at the cafeteria? And yet we are. And State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner is one of the people fighting for healthy meals for all. And there's still much more work to do in this legislative session. There is crypto regulation. There's the whole notion of, yeah, not letting billionaires bribe voters as we come into elections. There are things to be done, and in the midst of all that, we're still waiting for the governor to decide if he's going to run for a third term or not. I would guess you're probably looking at your phone every so often, going, "Any news yet? Any news yet?" Because I mean, there's a lot that hinges on that. So we'll continue this conversation for some of you with Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner. Others will have a local break that's coming up in just a bit as well. And a reminder that you can get our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. First, a quick check of sports. The Brewers have their best record ever at the All-Star break with 56 wins. Heading into the break, they will resume action in Los Angeles against the Dodgers coming up on Friday. Still one game behind the Cubs for the National League Central Division, but quite a sprint coming when the All-Star break is past us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and I'm here to tell you what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. It's Monday. It's the start of a new week, which means we're bringing on Brittany Merlot now to talk about this week's weather forecast so you can get yourself prepared for what's going on over the next few days. Brittany?
Thanks, Greg. So today we've got a high-pressure system sitting over a majority of the state with a stalled front stalling just over the northwestern slice, pretty much from around Amory to Hayward or so. And we've got an air quality alert that's statewide still. That Canadian wildfire smoke is still here. It started to seep in way north on Friday night. It started to take over early on Saturday. Now, the heaviest smoke is much further north, but periods of very unhealthy AQI is still possible. And of course, that's more likely right here for us. Now, I know it was way worse over the weekend. As that high pressure system is still here, we still have it lingering. Here's why. So that happy high-pressure system, yes, it brings sunshine, but it also drags our air from up aloft, up higher in the atmosphere, down to the surface. It pretty much has a sinking, calming effect. And once the air gets to the ground, it kind of spins outward. So because this whole system takes air and sinks it to the ground, this is aiding in why we always seem to see the wildfire smoke on clear, sunny days, turning it into a haze. That, of course, has some health effects. It can worsen asthma, COPD, and lung diseases. We also get an increased risk of a heart attack or stroke. Of course, some people are more at risk than others, including children, adults, and women who are pregnant. But the same goes for those who live or work outside. So people with some lower incomes and people living with asthma and other chronic diseases, they struggle. These dangerous wildfires are just contributing to the worsening levels of particle pollution. So far this year, we've seen the highest number of red and purple days in an air quality index alert than the history of the report. There were over 1,200 red unhealthy days and 231 purple very unhealthy days, around the country, of course. And there's also been 27 code maroon, which is extremely hazardous and the most severe of the air quality days. Of course, North Dakota and Maryland get it much worse. But that high pressure system loves to bring it here to us. So if you feel the effects, limit your time outdoors. A mask isn't a bad idea. Take it easy with strenuous activity. It's harder. You've got all these particles going into our lungs. Take it easy on yourself. And if you can, an air purifier inside helps that. Otherwise, it's supposed to be sunny and dry today. That hazy sunshine, of course, with the wildfire smoke still stuck here. Highs hitting nice, comfortable temperatures, warm in the mid-80s. And the dew points, not bad. Might get a little muggy for a moment there in the afternoon, but really, honestly, the dew points want to stay in the 50s. The mugginess, the humidity, is going to be much more further to the north, more like the Fox Valley up towards Oshkosh and towards central Wisconsin, like Stevens Point, and well over west towards La Crosse. Overall, not too bad of a day today. But as we move into this evening, that front that's stalled up way up in northwest Wisconsin that I mentioned, it's going to be working its way here towards us. This could, maybe ever so slightly, spark a chance for a scattered shower this evening. Otherwise, behind that, another system sets up, pretty much in northwest Wisconsin. It slowly works its way through the rest of the state on Wednesday, still kind of lingering a little bit for Thursday, and clears on out of here for Friday. So what this is going to do for our work week this week is pretty much still a high pressure system, still dominating tomorrow, highs in the upper 80s, clear, sunny, beautiful. But of course, wildfire smoke still lingering. Tuesday night stays mostly clear, lows at about 70, so some warmer, mild nights. And Wednesday, that front sags into the area. 20% chance of rainfall to start the day, 40% chance as we go through the afternoon, to a 60% chance Wednesday night. As we go into our Thursday, it drops down to about a 50% chance through the afternoon and even into the evening as well. Start to dry things out for Friday. That's as another high pressure system swings in behind that cold front. And yes, I said cold front. So some relief. Mid-80s today, tomorrow, Wednesday, with the humidity building, especially for Wednesday. We cool things down and become more comfortable. Thursday, highs in the mid-70s. But of course, rain-cooled air, chances of storms, it'll be a little bit humid too. But as Friday settles in and that high-pressure system following closely behind it, like I mentioned, highs in the mid-70s with mostly sunny, calm skies, it's going to be comfortable as we kick off the week. It's going to be comfortable as we move in towards the weekend. Fortunately, though, another system does want to slide in back behind it. It's pretty much a Colorado low lifting up and swinging into the state, so it's going to drag more humidity with it and more rain chances. Right now, it's about a 30% chance during Saturday afternoon. Otherwise, a partly sunny day, highs near 80. Saturday night, we pop up to a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll be cloudy, obviously, lows in the mid-60s. And Sunday, back to a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly partly sunny and dry, highs at about 80. So all in all, a dry weather, warming temperatures up today. Tomorrow's highs in the mid to upper 80s still, and an unsettled pattern for Wednesday, mainly in the afternoon, into the evening, and some of that could linger into Thursday. Much drier and cooler and comfortable air surges in for Friday, but of course we'll have that detailed forecast for you on Friday. And until then, I hope you have a wonderful week and a marvelous Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Greg, back to you.
Thanks, Brittany. We appreciate everything you do here at Civic Media for all of us. And we want you to know, folks, that you can also check out all the stories she's working on by going to civicmedia.us/news. There you're going to find so many stories she's already published about what's going on in the state regarding environmentalism, climate change, and what to be on the lookout for depending on the season we're in at the moment. Because, you know, Wisconsin, we'd love to think the weather's going to stay one way all day, but that's never the case. That's why we have Brittany Merlot and a wonderful group of talented people. people here at the network, and you've gotten used to Brittany being here on Mondays and Fridays to give you the up-to-date forecast. But be prepared, because she's going to be making another appearance from now on Wednesdays. And just a reminder, you can always hear her on Weather and Wine, a matinee on air, Thursdays at 10:20 every single week. And if you haven't already, download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. That way you can take us wherever you go, and you can listen to any station in the Civic Media network. Very simple. Go to your favorite app store, download the app. It's customizable to what you like to listen to and the stories you're interested in hearing about. Again, Civic Media app. It is absolutely free. See what I did there? That's a pun. Why? It's the weekend. You're welcome. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. Have a wonderful Monday. Take care. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's 8:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Officials in Massachusetts say 9 people were killed, 30 injured in a fire at an assisted living facility in Fall River. Fire Chief Jeffrey Bacon.
This isn't what we're designed to do here, right? We're here to save lives, and anytime that any life is lost, a single life is lost, is a tragedy in our mind.
Extreme heat and dry weather fueling fires that are burning out of control in 11 western states, one of them in the most visited national park. CBS's Ian Lee.
Fueled at times by 60-mile-per-hour winds, the fire has grown more than 40,000 acres at the north rim of the Grand Canyon.
President Trump's expected to announce new Patriot missile shipments for Ukraine today.